The epistle upon you read for the third Sunday of Advent is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brethren, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your modesty be known to all men. The Lord is nigh. Be nothing solicitous, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And the Holy Gospel. The Gospel taken from St. John, chapter 1, verses 19 through 28. At that time, the Jews sent from Jerusalem priests and Levites to John to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and did not deny, and he confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou the prophet? And he said, No. They said therefore unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they that were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said to him, Why then dost thou baptize, if thou art not Christ, nor Elias, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there hath stood one in the midst of you whom you know not. The same is he that shall come after me, who is preferred before me, the latchet of whose shoe I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethania beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Those are the words of today's Holy Gospel. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. John, in telling the Baptist, tells that he is a voice, and thereby telling his disciples plainly that he is not the Messiah, but simply the voice in the wilderness, the voice of the Messiah, so to speak. Those who listened to him knew that the Son of God could then not be far off, inasmuch as they had already heard his voice through the prophet's person of St. John. Our human voices prepare the way for the word that we speak in order that it may come forth intelligently from our mouths. As so as St. John, through his voice, that is through his preaching and his baptism, prepared the hearts of men for the coming of Christ. And hence he says that he is that voice which Isaiah longed for be told, Make straight the way of the Lord. This preparation principally consists in what Luke says. He preached the baptism of penance for the remission of sins. He consoled the people, and after he instilled in them with a faith in the Redeemer, St. John encouraged them to still further through love the coming Messiah and to confide in him. And St. John did this through the hope of pardon, the hope of grace, and the hope of glory. There's a threefold hope. It's necessary, the fruit of a threefold faith. From faith in the commandments springs the hope of pardon. And from the faith in miracles comes the hope of grace. And from the faith in the promises of God, comes forth the hope of glory. Every sinner, no matter how often or how grievously, that sinner may have violated the commandments of God, has a sure hope of pardon if that sinner listens to the voice of grace, confesses his sins, and is repentant. It's true that when a hardened offender turns to God and calls upon Almighty God for forgiveness, the abyss of evil to which the sinner has fallen calls to the abyss of the mercy of God. But even though the abyss of the wickedness may be so deep and fathomless, the depth of the mercy of God is still greater and more profound. It says in the Holy Scriptures, where sin hath abounded, grace abounds the more. Turn ye to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will turn to you, as we read in the book of Zacharias. The good God also promises, if the wicked do penance for all his sins which he has committed, and keep all my commandments. This is a promise of God. I will not remember all his iniquities that he has done. Our good God not only invites the sinner to repentance, but he waits long and patiently for his conversion. I desire not the death of the sinner, says our Almighty God. God is merciful to all sinners. He's long-suffering towards the perverse and the obdurate, so that they may be converted from the evilness of their ways. Long and zealously did St. John the Baptist preach to the Jews the baptism of penance, and for no other purpose than for the remission of their sins. His words are also preached to us by making straight the way of the Lord by faith in the commandments. We not only enjoy the assured hope of pardon for past sins, but also, if we humbly beg for it from God, the hope of His grace, which will help us prevent us from committing sins in the future. The hope of pardon is as necessary for the conversion of a sinner, but the hope of continued grace is even greater. The sinner knows that God's forgiveness for past sins will avail him nothing if the sinner continues to offend God by new and fresh sins. He also knows that of himself, the sinner is utterly unable to avoid evil, so that it is God who worketh him to do will and to good. The recollection of one's past misery is the first effect of grace, to realize how miserable the state of a sinner is. And it's the first effect of grace as well as the first step towards future holiness. But this knowledge is due to the ineffable goodness of God. No matter how deeply one may have sunk into the misery of sin, as the psalmist says, come to him, that is, come to God, and be enlightened. And having this enlightenment, one will understand the danger from which one has been rescued by the hand of God, and understand one will learn to have a true dread for a relapse into sin. And grace is necessary to convert the sinner, to preserve him in the divine friendship after his conversion. Our spiritual enemies are most numerous. Their plans are the most cunningly devised for our destruction, and we are obliged to contend constantly with them. But for our consolation, we are firmly assured that God will not desert us. He'll give us grace to overcome our tempters. God does not constrain the free will of man, but by His grace, it's always available. It's the most important work of salvation. His assistance is so essential to the success of our undertakings that no one can begin, continue, or complete any good work in the way of salvation without the all-powerful help of God. We see how firm and consistent is this hope of grace to the heart of the repentant and converted sinner. But the third hope, which St. John encourages us to follow, is the great hope of glory. It's that strong and intimate confidence which supports the just and enables them to persevere in the performance of good works. He that shall persevere to the end, says Almighty God, shall be saved. Notice our Lord didn't say, he who perseveres to the end, I will think about saving, or may be saved. Our Lord said, he who that shall persevere to the end shall be saved. Saved in the world to come, into eternal life, into an eternally happy life. And we're encouraged by the exhortation of the promise of our Savior, which is also founded upon our hope. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, because your reward is very great in heaven. St. Bernard, speaking of this great reward, says, it is so great that we cannot exhaust the reward, and it's so precious that we cannot even sufficiently value it. But what does God require of us in order to merit this heavenly reward? If He should exact from us to serve Him for half an eternity, such a demand would not be too great. However, our days upon earth are but a shadow, and we should apply the few days that we have in this world to serving our Creator and keeping His commandments. It is true that this short life may be filled with miseries, but as St. Paul says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is to come. That which we suffer in this world, in our life, is only temporary. And our present tribulation is momentary in its light. We must heed the words of St. John the Baptist, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." God receives us back into his friendship even after we may have frequently and basely insulted him by sin. He upholds us by his almighty powerful grace on the path of righteousness, and he promises a eternal reward if we serve him faithfully during the short days of our lives. My dear faithful, these three signal hopes in the goodness of God, hope of pardon for sin, hope of continued grace, the hope of glory, should be sufficient to encourage us to a thorough and a lasting reformation of our lives. And we should put our hope in his divine power and goodness to persevere bravely with the help of his grace on the path of virtue, that path which is to prepare the way of the Lord into our hearts. And we must persevere in our hope so that for all eternity we can truly love the gracious God and the joys of heaven. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.